Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Al's brother in the O-Dog coming up later in the hour. Team Al-Dog, after a big week last week, 4-1-1, they're feeling good, feeling very good. We get four games on tap this weekend. It's going to be awesome. The Leafs are back in action tonight. They play tomorrow in Ottawa because there's been some weird scheduling where Pittsburgh is in Philly again tonight, I believe. And they played two nights ago, take a day off, and then play again. Like, why not play back-to-back in Philly?
Well,
like,
I think
I guess maybe the Sixers were playing, but
well, and not to mention, I think they're trying to limit the back-to-backs. They just have it, you know, as a scenario where you're in the same city, but you want the best quality games too. That's one thing that, you know, for example, Edmonton, Vancouver, like you got two different types of games. Vancouver played very well the first night. Edmonton didn't, and vice versa. I didn't think Vancouver played very well last night. You know, back-to-backs, they take on a life of their own. If you could space it out, and I know the guys aren't doing anything, just hanging around the hotel, but it gives that recovery. I think you get better quality for the fan, and this is about entertainment. Maybe I'm off base here.
No, I agree with that, ideally. I'm just saying, you know, an extra day around the hotel, an extra day in a different city. You
right.
know, I would have figured the NHL, and it's not always easy to do because you share your buildings, right?
Right.
Like the NBA's playing at home as well, so it's not that easy to do. But there's a couple of examples of that happening. I think there's another one tonight where two teams, I think Colorado-St. Louis are playing tonight again.
Right, and they played two nights ago.
And they played two nights ago. And it's
but
just,
that's, I sorry to interrupt, I think that's going to be, if we're going to take anything away from this, scheduling might be one thing where you can go, hey, we're going to go out west if you're the Leafs. You can go out to Edmonton and play three games in four nights, and there's a day off in between. Or you can, you know, you can play three games in five nights or six. Or you spread it out, but you're there.
I'd be all over that, and I think that's a way for them to get more Canadian content if you're not going to stick with a Canadian division, which they're
right.
not going to do. You
right.
know, and that would mean it's an imbalance in the schedule, but this is entertainment. You know, we often,
right.
we bring it back to, well, it's got to be fair. It's got to be balanced. Not really. I mean, it's cyclical. Sometimes teams are good. Sometimes they're bad. But
right.
ultimately, what should be put forth is what is going to get the most ratings, what is going to excite the fans the most, and what
right.
is going to lead to the best product. And I firmly believe Toronto should be playing Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver more than twice a year.
Yep.
You should be playing at least four times a year.
I'm
sure people
disagree.
In Montreal would say that, people in Ottawa would say that, and people out west would say that.
I don't disagree with it, but I'll come back to quality. I think the best quality we see is the playoffs, and those are spaced out every 2 days, right?
Yep.
You play. So, you know, I would much rather have my top dogs available for all of the games instead of, you know, for example, you know, Hellebuck's, the backup's going to play in a back-to-back scenario, or Carey Price, or like, and that's just the goaltenders. But, you know, Matthews plays 24 minutes one night, and then, you know, Sheldon's looking at him going, back-to-back, maybe take 2 minutes away from him, or, you know, put somebody else in a scenario. I want the best at all times, and the league should be looking at that. I know this is a unique year, but even moving forward, I know scheduling's a big part of it, but I've always hated back-to-back just based on entertainment, because you feel like the team is not 100%. You know, it's close.
Well, you go into it expecting that.
Right.
You expect them just not to be near 100%.
But the tickets aren't any cheaper.
No, they're not.
And that's, you know, like if you're going to watch McDavid for the first time, or Matthews, or whoever you love as a player for the first time, and he's playing his third game in four nights in three different cities, you might not get, you know, what you're expecting.
The only way to avoid that is to shave games off the schedule, because
right.
you can't find more days or more weeks or more months. You know,
yeah,
it is what
no,
it is.
Right.
And if you're going to play from October to the middle of April, if you want to avoid back-to-backs, you got to play about, you know, 45 games in the schedule.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit more than that, 50 or 60, but I'm with you. I totally support what you're saying. I much prefer that, and it is a better product. Like, the Matthews minutes is an interesting storyline going into the weekend. I think it got away from Keefe a little bit because he was chugging the way he was, and it was a close game, and they were chasing the game a lot.
Right.
And next, like 25 minutes is an outrageous amount of time on the ice for a forward. Like, right. It's just a crazy amount of time.
Although McDavid, I think, played 28 the first night.
Yeah, there's a few guys that can do it. That doesn't mean it's – like, you can't do that all year if you're tipping.
No.
You can't. You're going to run them into the ground. You're going to bury them. And this weekend, like, Matthews can't play 50 minutes. He can't. He can barely play 40, likely, over the course of two games and two nights.
I would like to see him – I mean, 22, 44 would be – the max. So that's 22 a night average.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be, 23 one night, 21 the next night. Like, who knows? Just see how the game unfolds. You want the luxury of being able to roll the bottom of your lineup. Unfortunately, the other night, they were behind the whole game until they won it. So you need to kind of get him out there. That's where the thought process of having him on the penalty kill. He didn't play a ton on the penalty kill, but that was another 40 seconds or whatever it is that adds to it, right? Like, you can keep him in a reasonable time threshold if he's not killing penalties, but you want him to be in a groove. So it's kind of a chicken or the egg scenario.
Yeah, it is. It's catch 22, right? Which one do you want?
Right.
Yeah, we'll get into this with I think he's going to join us later. I don't know if he'll be over the phone or if he's going to lock in over the headset. We'll see. Yeah, it's undetermined at this point.
If he comes up on the video with a headband on, I would like or a head
get
wrap.
Get someone else in here.
Todd Gill head wrap.
I'm out. I'm done. I'll pass out. We can't have that because, the healthcare system is already strained. They don't need me being dragged into a hospital because I've just lost all of my senses and I've I won't be able to see that. I can't do that.
I know.
So O-Dog and Al's brother later in the hour. Our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. Caught up with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif earlier. Great Canadian. We all know his story. Won a Super Bowl last year in Kansas City. Went to McGill, played football at McGill, and went in the sixth round in 2014 in Kansas City. He's been there his whole career. First NFL player to opt out. He was the first one to do it in July, and he did it for, a purpose. It wasn't just about COVID necessarily in his own scenario or his family scenario. It was about giving back to the Montreal community, and he's been working in long-term care units throughout Montreal and getting his message out. And he truly is a messenger because of who he is, right? Like, he's a local celebrity based on being in the NFL, the size of him. You can't miss him. He walks down St. Catharines or St. Laurent. You can't miss this guy. 6'5", 325. That's going to do it for you. But we've been waiting to catch up with him for a long time. Won the Lou Marsh with Alfonso Davies this year. Made an announcement earlier today. He's going back to the NFL next year. That is his plan. And we caught up with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif earlier this afternoon and began by taking us back to July. Take us back to making that decision, how difficult it was to decide to opt out from the NFL this season.
It was for sure the toughest decision I had to make in my life. After the Super Bowl, I went back and held on the front line for like 10 weeks. And I feel like after seeing the patient, the suffering, the pain, and also the burden that the pandemic was putting on the healthcare worker community and their family, I felt like, for me, even though I love football, with my perspective, as a future physician and everything, it didn't really make sense to cross the border and travel in every different city on a week-to-week basis during the season. So that's kind of what motivated my decision. And my goal was never, to go against the NFL or anything. I think football is really powerful. Like, sport is really powerful because it brings people together, and we need that now. But I think for me, it was the right decision, and I don't regret it.
Laurent, how did the Chiefs and really Andy Reid react to the decision? Because, from the outside, Andy Reid looks like a pretty grizzled guy. How was he with the decision and his reaction?
I called Coach Reid the day before I opted out and told him the decision, and his support was amazing. Back in 2014, when I was during my pre-draft visit, Coach Reid was actually one of the only coaches that I met that saw the medical school thing as a positive thing, and he said he was going to help me balance both, and he did it, for 6 years. And when I called him and told him that, I thought this year my role was going to be you know, on the front line rather than on a football field. He gave me his support, and not only, you know, on the phone with him, but also in the media the day after, and I did the same. And feeling that from your coach, you know, who, because we're in a business where you try to win football game and make money, and it's a really competitive business. But to see the human part of that and the support from my teammate and my coach, it really meant everything to me.
With Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who made an announcement, went public today, saying that he intends on getting back into the NFL. He'll be back there next year. And you might be defending another Super Bowl. I mean, your Chiefs are looking really good. They're at home against the Browns this year. You've been busy. Have you been able to keep up? And have you been watching the games? And how often have you been keeping in contact with your teammates?
I've been watching almost every game. It's hard not to be honest. And I feel like this year, as the season went on, it got harder and harder for me to watch the game because, you know, the O-line got decimated by injury at some point, and I was like, oh, Jesus, I could be back in there and contributing. But, you know, I'm going to be the number one Chiefs fan going into those playoffs for sure.
Well, take us through kind of the ups and downs. When you made the announcement in the summer, I know Quebec was in a similar position to Ontario. The numbers had dropped. The hospitalizations had dropped. The issues in long-term care were not resolved, but in a much better position when you made that decision to stay home and help out. And now the second wave, we know the numbers have skyrocketed. The hospitalizations have. There's a curfew in Quebec. With that being the case, did it dawn on you like how important it was for you to stick around? I know you originally said you have had no regrets, you never had any regrets, but maybe at the time you weren't sure what kind of second wave was coming. And now that we've seen it, has it changed your perspective at all and made you appreciate the decision you've made even more?
I mean, I think we all knew there was going to be a second wave. We didn't know how big it was going to be, but I feel like my job, my role was going to be here this year and contribute and help. And, you know, the help that I'm providing in long-term care facilities, to be honest, is nothing compared to, like, all the work those frontline workers are doing and have been doing, you know, for the past 20 years. But I feel like using my platform and my Tribune to promote, like, a message and to remind people how important it is to do those social distancing measures, you know, to wash your hands and now to get vaccinated, I feel like that's also part of my job and my role this year. And if it can contribute to decrease the burden of the virus, well, it's going to be mission accomplished.
How did you, with all of that work back home, I know with the size you are as a player, did you lose weight? Did you try and maintain weight? Were you able to stay in shape? Like, how was that process, you know, with everything that your focus was basically on medicine and really not on football?
Well, that was my biggest challenge this year for sure, was to maintain my weight, maintain my physical condition. And I don't know how it is in Toronto, but here in Montreal, all the gyms have been closed for a while now. So I had to improvise a little bit. I put a squat rack on my balcony, and I'm training outside now. So that's it's getting colder and colder. But I guess as a real Canadian, I'm trying to stay in shape outside and do everything I can. You know, I promise myself, you know, when I go back to Kansas City, my physical condition was not going to be an issue, and that's what I'm trying to do right now, because that's really the only thing I can control when it comes to football next year.
With Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and again making his announcement today, he's going back to the NFL. He'll be back in Kansas City next year, and I'm sure you've thought about it. You've experienced it a lot. You played on the team for quite some time. You won a Super Bowl. You've been in that locker room. You know the guys for the most part. But when you step away for a year, I mean, things can change. It can feel a little bit different. Do you expect kind of rookie type nerves when you go back? What do you think that experience will be like back in Kansas City?
You know, in 2018, I got injured and I missed the whole season basically. And my mindset when I went back was really to, you know, fight for a job and try to get my spot back. And when people who don't know football that much. You know, they think that you're just going back to your original team and you're going to take your job back because you deserve it. But the reality of the business is that every year you got to fight for your spot. You got to fight for your job and earn it. So that's really the mindset that I'm going back with, and I'm going to do everything I can to get that job back.
What's Mahomes like up close and personal? Like, you're protecting him. You're not turning around and watching him throw bombs. You're protecting him. But what's it like being in the huddle and just being around a guy like that?
Yeah, when you look back at him when he's throwing, it's usually not a good sign.
No, exactly. You're in trouble at that point.
Pat, to be honest, is an awesome leader. We all know him for his athletic ability on the field and the way he's able to make those throws, but he's also a great leader, and just the way he's able to, like, communicate and bring people together in tough situations. You know, it's 3rd and 15, he's walking to the huddle smiling, and it just builds that team chemistry like nothing else.
You mentioned vaccinations, and I know you were recently vaccinated. Can you take us through what that experience was like? Because there's a lot of Canadians, millions and millions of Canadians, that are waiting for that call, waiting to get in there. What was that feeling like, considering everything you've been through, everything you've seen, everything you've experienced, to finally get the vaccine?
I feel like for me, it was like the first time that we were actually proactive about the whole COVID thing. You know, all we had when it comes to, like, tool to fight this virus so far was washing our hands, putting a mask, social distancing from one another. And I feel like now, for the first time, we can actually take a shot at this virus. And I was really almost, like, proud when I got this vaccine, you know, because I was like, now we have hope. Now we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And there's still a lot of work to do. But at least, you know, we can now see the day when we're going to go back to normal.
Winning the Lou Marsh alongside Alphonso Davies, were you surprised? Were you expecting it? I know there was a lot of people that had your name right at the front. Just take us through that process and how you found out and everything.
Well, you know, when you look at Alphonso Davies, he's for sure the best athlete we got right now, and probably one of the best Canadian athletes of the decade. So I think it's an honor for me to share this trophy with him, because I'm for sure not one of the best athletes in Canada with my 320 pounds. But you know, I think this year, with the context and everything, it's also important to acknowledge things outside of just sports. It was an honor for me, but I'm never going to say it enough. I feel like the real credit goes to all the healthcare workers, because at the end of the day, my contribution is really small compared to the sacrifice and the dedication that these people show up every day with.
The Leafs got him a couple of nights ago, but how are you feeling about your Habs this season?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think everybody's excited. Like, it's nice to be home and feel that even though, like, we cannot go out or see people, like, you can still feel the almost like a festive atmosphere around the Habs this year. And it comes back to the point that I was making earlier. Like, I feel like now more than ever, we need sport. Like, sport is almost like a connective tissue in our society that brings everybody together. And I'm pretty excited about it.
Yep, I totally agree with that sentiment. We thank you from Toronto for everything you've done. And your story is an incredible one. And we loved watching you on the field. We can't wait to see you back on the field. Good luck with the Chiefs. Good luck with the Habs. Good luck with everything in Montreal. And we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this, Laurent.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good one.
Awesome catching up with him. And I totally agree with what he said. You know, that sports, it's a reprieve, but it also allows us to connect. You know, like, we're all in this together in terms of COVID, but the whole country, like, there's not a connection, because you're not going anywhere. I don't feel like I leave my house. I don't feel like I'm connected to the greater Toronto area, let alone, you know, anywhere else in the country necessarily. And to be honest with you, I kind of focus on my region. I focus on our province. I do focus on the country, but what is exactly, you know, or directly involving me and my family and our friends and family and work and all that kind of stuff is what's going on here. But when the sports are on, it's like, oh, yeah, Toronto and Montreal are playing tonight. We got that connection. People in Montreal and throughout Quebec are watching and throughout Ontario. Yep. And when Vancouver's in Edmonton and Calgary's in Winnipeg, it's a massive country. It's a great country. But it can feel small at times when you get sports cooking. And I love it.
I agree.
I love that hockey's back and we can all kind of gather around that.
Well, and you said the other day, like, when's the last time you've actually driven downtown Toronto? Like, we used to do it a couple times a week, really,
yeah,
you know.
It's been a long time.
To go and watch a Leaf game or a Raptor game or whatever. Not doing any of that right now, unfortunately. And you hope that the end is in sight at some point. Although, you know, I think it's still going south before it goes north here. But,
Who knows? Right. I mean, we're at where we're at. So.
Exactly. I try to not focus on it daily. I try to look at the big picture. But to your point, there's, for us personally, there's sports to drag us out of it, right? You can watch a Raptors game, you can watch a Leaf game, you can, you know, you're watching the NFL, or I'll be watching the NFL as well this weekend. Like, there's going to be lots of moving parts for us to at least kind of get through this tough
time.
Especially
this far into it, right? Like,
yeah.
Originally, back in March and April, yes, it felt a little bit uneasy, I guess. You felt a little bit off the idea of talking about sports and considering sports as a priority.
Right.
You know, when the whole world initially shut down and it was the first time it's ever happened and there was so much uncertainty and a lot of panic and fear. And at that point, it was like, okay, I was looking forward to sports. I did believe that it was going to come back and that it should come back and it could find a place. And eventually it did. But admittedly, there were times where I'm like, this is, you know, we're talking about who the Leafs are going to sign or how they're going to look when the Jays play again. And it was strange. It was. And
yeah.
It was kind of an uneasy feeling. 10 months into this, you know, we've been doing this a long time. We need distractions. You need
things to look forward to.
You have to. Early on, it was like, okay, I'm just getting into this. Let's see where it goes. If we're still staying at home 10 months into this, you got to give us something. Like,
no,
you
got to
give us something. And sports is just that. For us, anyway. If you're not a sports fan, you're looking for new movies, TV, ideas, books, whatever. But all over it.
Yeah.
Leafs in action tonight. Leafs back in action tomorrow. 4 NFL games this weekend. We will catch up with Al's brother. I believe the O-Dog is going to join us as well. We are going to make our picks and look ahead to the weekend. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, here we go. I've been waiting all week for this segment. All week, because I had to listen to O-Dog and Al's brother on Monday. And listen, they went 4-1-1 last week, and that was a good weekend for them. And when I was winning throughout the year, I thought I, you know, won with more class, more dignity. I didn't think I was jabbing needles into them and making sure that they knew that they were chewing on losses. But they made me hear it, and that's fine.
Yep.
And technically, based on the court of law, we're back to even because hashtag Jerry King was trending quickly. But this is not the court of law. This is apparently a fantasy land where some bets count and some bets don't. But let's bring in Al's brother. So we'll add him to the fold here. He's on the third box. I believe he'll be up here in a moment. He's up in agent court doing his thing. So we have Al's brother. And I believe we have the O-Dog over the phone.
Wow.
How are we feeling this afternoon?
We are doing good, fellas. Yesterday was a bit of a whirlwind day. Obviously, I'm in a sling, but meds have kind of worn off from the surgery and just some discomfort in a sling today. But other than that, I'll be good to go Monday. Full
show.
I had I like it. Okay.
I had to buy a tarp, though, that is so out of control. It's a 5XL. And I mean, nothing against the 5XL, but it's
those
a tarp.
Are tough to find. Those can be
where
like
do you find a
5XL? A car cover.
I told my wife,
shirt.
You'll find a 5XL at Walmart for fun. And sure enough, she plucked a 5XL. I asked for a 4. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a 5. But she came home with the 5, and I said, you could have got the 3. And she said, well, it's got to fit over your sling. And I obviously can't move my left arm. It's got to go inside. So you need comfort. But this thing's a tarp, I'll tell you that.
So are you intending on wearing that on Monday? Is that the plan or what?
Yeah, I'll have that thing on. You could cover a Fiat with this thing in your garage.
See, the please, you have to wear it like, and we need like a wide shot of it. Like, put the well. Somehow, you're going to be on the phone Monday, or are you going to be on video?
No, I'll be on both. I'm back, but I'll have the Fiat cover on Monday.
I love it. I love it. We were discussing earlier, and this is two things. First and foremost, did you have to leave the hospital? I think when you leave hospitals, did you have to leave in a wheelchair right to the edge of the curb or whatever? I think legally,
I told the lady, look, I can walk down there. She's like, no, you can't, because everybody thinks they can do that. And I guess what happens is they get off the elevator and they just face plant, because I don't know what the hell happens, but they just think they're so cool.
It's
insurance. I remember saying to I know. I said to the lady, I'm like, I was kind of out of it a little bit. I'm like, look, I'm like Rambo. Like, I just, nothing affects me. And she looked at me and she goes, what? I go, yeah. I said, I'm like Rambo. I can just, this doesn't affect me. I can get out of here. She goes, the wheelchair's coming in 2 minutes and you're getting in it. Have a good day.
Right. And you're wearing 5XL right now. You're not Rambo. I hate to break it to you, sir. You're not in a jungle shredded right now. You're in a wheelchair in a 5XL.
Yeah, so, with a headband in a 5XL.
That's the thing. That's the closest you were to Rambo, because Rambo wore a headband. That's it.
Right.
Some face paint and a 5XL.
And then secondly, we were talking about how bad of friends we are. You tweeted out that Hayes, you know, was basically making fun of your
golf
game.
Ignorant. I thought it was so ignorant. Well, he's like, how's the wing? I thought it was like a check-in as one of my buddies. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not bad. Probably be some discomfort at night. And the next thing comes blazing in. You're going to lose 20 yards off the tee. And I said, actually, well, I'm going to rehab and flexibility. I'm probably going to gain. And then he just, all I heard, I didn't hear from the guy again. He wrote, probably develop a massive slice as well. And then he was just feathers and gone.
Well,
I'm like, this is such an ignorant friend comment. Like, just nothing.
Very supportive. Hey, I'm worried about your game. I hope, Noodles scared me earlier with Noodles. You're hearing kind of stories about tough rehabs. And
yeah,
I think you'll be back in the links.
I talked to a guy the other day who likes to take a peek, and he was telling me that one of his buddies, it was like an extensive and excruciating rehab, to, you know, like painful and lengthy time. So he was concerned about your health, saying, you know, it may take O-Dog more than 6 months to rehab this thing.
Get serious. I'll be ready to rock when the golf course is open.
Good.
Don't you worry about that.
And okay. I also pointed out, I know we got to move along, but as bad a friend as Brian is, I'm just as bad, because you and I were talking hockey yesterday. We were talking everything. Not once did I say, how are you doing? Where are you? Are you feeling okay? Anything. So I got to be a better friend. I apologize. So I hope you're doing well. We're thinking.
Yeah, buddy. All good. All good. I just want to make sure my little pard's there. By the way, Hayes, the other sports selection, both of our guys are in the mix, so you might want to pay attention to that.
Dude,
too.
I checked it out just before, because they're playing in Hawaii, so I wasn't sure when they were teeing off, and I open up the app and all I see is Webb Simpson T1 minus 10 and my heart sinks. I'm like, where is Morikawa? And there he is at 9 under. He went low today too.
Yeah,
they're gonna be playing together all weekend.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yep. Okay, Alice, brother, you're waiting there patiently. You look like you're determined to pick winners. How are you feeling about the board, buddy? You feeling good about this weekend or what? Good start. Mic's off.
It's mic's off.
Yeah. Let's fire that thing up there, Al's brother or Mullen or whoever's in charge.
The guy works the board. He can't get his mic going.
How am I going to lose to this guy this weekend if he can't get his mic operating properly?
And how are we doing this? Is Noodles flipping a coin again?
Well, we were wondering about that. Like, I had first pick last week. We can either alternate, which means you guys get first.
Yeah, it's our turn. Yeah, we get first pick, so it's Al's brother's turn.
Okay, and the way this is going to work out is then you get first pick here. I guess I'll get first next week. That means you guys will pick the Super Bowl, or, you know, maybe
the Super Bowl's got to be an own individual coin toss.
I think so, too. I think we have to flip a coin for the coin toss. But we got to get Al's brother on the mic. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
But he's having technical difficulties. So I'll run off the games here quickly so people are familiar with what we're dealing with here. Packers-Rams. The Packers are -7 at home. They're a 7-point favorite at home. They are the first game of the weekend. The nightcap tomorrow night, Buffalo -2.5 at home against Baltimore. And then on Sunday, the Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites over Cleveland, and the Saints are a 3-point favorite at home against Tampa. So those are your four games. Two borderline coin tosses. You know, you're laying a little bit of juice with the home teams in Buffalo and New Orleans. And then a couple of pretty big dogs. You know, the Packers are big favorites, and the Chiefs are big favorites. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy weekend. I can't say I'm looking at this board any more clear than I did last week. I thought last week's board was tough. And we'll hear from Al's brother in a moment, but are you leaning one way or the other with the first pick? If you guys have the first pick here, oh, I guess you can speak openly.
Well, I have no idea what my pal has in mind there. He sent me some kind of jumbled text on what he's thinking. But I thought he would already be on the TV screen and ready to rock right now. What the hell is he doing?
He is. He was up on TV. He was waiting there patiently. We went to him, and his mic exploded. So I don't know if Mullen can let us know or what's
going on.
I'm
here, boys. I'm here.
There's Al's brother.
Oh, yes, my guy. Al's brother.
What happened there?
No, yeah. That's a terrible omen to start the week. I can tell you that. I no longer feel good about anything that I chose. I might have to go opposite of what we got on the board here. But to answer your initial question, it's a tough schedule. There's a lot of real hard lines to pick here. I could go either way with a lot of these ones.
Mm. What do you think of that, O? That doesn't sound overly confident.
No,
when does it ever? The bottom line, House Brother, is we have the first pick. What are you going with?
Yeah, with the first pick, I think I'm going to follow in Hazy's steps last week and take the Buffalo Bills here, -2. I don't know why there's so much love for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they only scored 21 points against Tennessee last week, and Tennessee's got a pretty terrible defense. Buffalo, I think, has a better defense and a much better offense, and 21 points isn't going to get it done to cover this 2-point spread against Buffalo. So I'm definitely going with the home team here with the Bills.
Yeah, I like that. I would have taken Buffalo as well. I was looking at the Bills. I like Baltimore is better than we think because they had such a horrible start, right? And COVID really crippled them there for a while. Their schedule was out of whack. But I would take the home team. In a game like this where you've got two young quarterbacks, I think both teams are equally talented, give or take. I would go with the home team. I think that's a smart pick. I like it. And I like the fact that you didn't touch the Packer game because I'm thinking – of playing this smart and hedging heart and mind.
Ooh.
Where I basically can't lose here. I'm gonna learn a lesson from last week where I bet a lot of favorites and dogs came in. I'm gonna take the Rams. I'm gonna take the +7 at Lambeau. Their defense is outstanding. I worry about Adams and Ramsey on the outside. I'm not sure Devontae Adams is gonna be as great. I think the Packers are gonna win, but this screams backdoor cover or close game with that defense being what it is. And if the Packers roll, then my team moves on anyway. I'm happy with that. So I can't miss. That's
me and Al's brother are ecstatic with your pick as well because we were on the Rams. So thank you very much.
Well, I just took the Rams. So no, you're on the Packers.
We were
on the Packers. So okay. We're delighted with that selection.
Okay.
Aaron Donald's not 100%. I do not know what you were thinking.
Well,
move on,
I'm thinking
Al's
hedge.
Brother.
I'm hedging mind and heart. It's very simple. It's stupid from a gambling standpoint, but I think it makes sense as a fan. All right, Al's brother, who do you like? Two more games left.
All right, this one, man, these next two games are real tough, and I'm going to leave you with the Cleveland-KC game because I don't want to pick it. So I'm going to go with the Tampa-New Orleans, the battle of Brees versus Brady, and I'm going to go with Drew Brees. He's absolutely owned this matchup all year long, including a 38-3 beatdown on Sunday Night Football. I just think New Orleans defense has the book on Brady and this Bruce Arians offense. So I think they keep it rolling. They make it 3 in a row against that team and roll all the way to the NFC Championship. Let's go with New Orleans -3.
Mm. Oh, dog, what do you think of that pick? It's yours.
I'm going to be tweeting about that one. I can guarantee it. I just don't like anything about it. And the two Rambos here, we might be in trouble on that one.
Okay. Yeah, it's an incredibly difficult game because, like, as Al's brother
playoff, regardless of what happened, Hazy in the playoffs, Brady come playoff time, I just think it's a different cat.
Yep.
Seen it twice. I don't know. But my captain.
New Orleans got him twice. New Orleans beat him both times this year.
I know.
Very good. Very good.
I know.
But this is Brady outside of New England. This is kind of a different story here. And, I mean, they kind of just barely got past Washington last week.
Yeah, and New Orleans, I guess, handled Chicago pretty well, but it's not like they blew them out either. But I agree with you. I didn't love either team's effort last week, but that was a tough game. I might have leaned Saints, and I guess I'm on the Bucs. And I think I got to continue with the logic. You know, this one is tough. Like the Chiefs, I could see the Chiefs winning this by 45 points.
Like, yeah, I could, so could I.
You know, they could be up 28-0 5 minutes into this game. But Cleveland's offensive line, the run game, and it's such a big spread. And I think, again, I have to take lessons from last week where Vegas is itching. They're praying for you to take the favorite because you think it's going to be explosive. I'll take the Browns. I'm going to take the 9.5. Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns. It just it leaves me an opportunity to keep it. I was so impressed with Cleveland last week. And if Baker Mayfield doesn't turn the ball over, I think it can be close enough where even if they lose, they're going to cover or maybe a backdoor cover is an option late in the fourth quarter. I'll take Cleveland. I'm on the
Browns. I think we had the same thing in mind, but now that I'm hearing it, your first comments was KC could win by 45, and that's what I hope happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the way it works out. You guys took four favorites. I took four dogs. Like, that's the way it went. You're on Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans, Kansas City. You have all four home teams, all four favorites, and I'm on all four road teams and all four dogs.
Like, that's, I like it.
Yeah.
I like
you,
it.
You love your favorites, Alice, brother. You are a big fan of the favorites. I generally am, too. I picked them last week, but I'm praying for dogs, man. I need something. Like, I got to be honest. I look at my picks. I don't love my picks. Don't love
Dude, I can't believe you went against the Packers. Like, I just can't believe it.
Again, it's the old heart versus mind hedge. It's a classic hedge.
He's opposite George. That's what he wants. He doesn't, you know, he's like, no, I don't think they're going to win. And it doesn't matter. You leave money on the table, but his team wins. That's what it is. You're opposite George on this. I think it's a superstitious play by you. I can see right through it.
Okay.
And it's fine. You'd rather pay the money than have Rodgers win. That's what
right.
it is.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I go 3-1 this weekend. The Packers roll, make it easy for me. And
exactly.
I even everything up anyway because I'll win hopefully the other three bets and the Packers roll.
Well, it's all even right now because of the trending hashtag. So we're at zero.
Well, that's
we're
good
all
point.
Squared up.
That's good. But you are judge,
jury, and executioner. The trending hashtag is a joke, so don't even bring it. I'm getting off the phone, but don't even bring it up again. You're down $300. End of story.
All right. Okay, let's see. I can't wait to see you on Monday. Send us pictures beforehand. We need to make sure Megan has all the lighting up properly and the camera angles. And it's going to be good to have you back
car
on
cover.
Monday.
Be awesome.
All right, fellas. Go Leafs, go. Send us 7 o'clock. We'll cut. 4 p.m. Monday, we'll chat then.
Yes, we will. There he is, the O-Dog. And Al's brother, you know, final thoughts. I think you like your picks. Obviously, you made your picks. You made two of them. But you got the four favorites, the four home teams. You must feel relatively good about that.
I do, honestly. I actually think that we could run the table here. Like, Buffalo, I really do love that Buffalo pick. I think New Orleans were in good shape. I was super surprised that you went against Green Bay. You could have doubled down and went Green Bay and just, like, if you think they're seriously going to win this game big, like I do, you know, you could have had it all. You could have had the victory for the Green Bay Packers, the victory here in the Pick'em game.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I feel like you're just going to be super sour on Monday because now you're going to go 0-2.
Here's what also could happen. They win by 6, and I get the best of both worlds, Al's brother.
Ooh.
You didn't really think about the old hedge. Here's what I picture happening. Close ball game, you know, two-minute drill, probably less than a minute. Rodgers charged down the field. Mason Crosby, 3 seconds left on the clock, 45 yards out. Boom. Right down the middle, win by 3, and I cash on both. That's what I envision. That's what I want to see.
Rodgers and Lambeau, though, is quite the combination. And against the Rams, he's 6-0 all time against the spread. And you think about the whole home field advantage and stuff, and this team coming from a southern climate. So it's going to be a little cooler down there.
Yep.
That's going to be a bit of a disadvantage for them. And just for the fun and fancy stats here, Jared Goff is 0-2 against the spread outright in his career in games below freezing temperatures with 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
What I needed to hear right there, Els brother.
But,
the heart.
That's the nonsense that he spews. It sounds
great. It's completely irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. It sounds amazing. That's the thing.
Yep.
He's got it all written down, and it's so smooth, and it rolls off, and it's just flawless the way he delivers it. But it's still a steaming pile of you know what.
Yes.
That's the problem.
It potentially could be. Well, all the best, Al's brother.
Good luck to you.
Got me last week. We'll see how it plays out.
You too, Brian.
All right. Thank you, Al's brother. It sounded very sincere. Team Al Dog again on Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Kansas City. All four favorites, all four at home. I'm on all four dogs at home.
Although,
we'll see. We'll see. All four dogs on the road, I should say.
Yeah, I should give some love to Al's brother because I believe he's above 500 now. So
he's doing a lot better recently. A lot better recently. Yeah, no, he's – listen, admittedly, I look at my picks. I don't like my picks. You know, I don't love being on the four dogs, but, you know, history would tell you, Vegas would tell you, the dogs, they come barking. You know,
yeah,
they did last week, and, you know, I don't think anyone's going to run the table here. I don't see that happening. At least one or two of the favorite. I'm probably looking at 500 might be my best opportunity, and that's my bad. I mean, he jumped on Buffalo, and he jumped on New Orleans quickly, and I had to take the two bigger spreads, and I went with the dogs based on the size of the number.
All good.
So we'll see what happens.
You'll be fine.
We'll be fine. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm looking at the NFL board, and the more and more I think about it, 7 points is a lot of points. You know, the Rams have the best defense in football or close to it. You know, the Packers, it's going to be cold. They're coming off a bye. I like the Packers to win the game, but 7 points is a lot, you know, and it adds up to a potential backdoor cover. I think I'm on the Rams. I think I'd be on Buffalo, so I'll take Buffalo for my best bets. Cleveland, again, getting 10 points. I'm going to take it that they're going to be able to keep that close in what will likely be a shootout. Kansas City hasn't played great the second half of the season. They've been in some close games, some tight games. Maybe they finally come alive coming off a bye. Andy Reid has a history of that. But even if they win by 9 or 10 and lead the whole game, you still cover the number. Or at least get a push. And I'll go with Tampa at 3.5 on ProLine. Throwing out 20, you can score 200 with those picks. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Leafs sends tonight on TSN. And then back in Ottawa tomorrow night. This is the first time we've seen this ever. You know, Leafs, Ottawa, back-to-back, both times in Ottawa.
Yeah, on the road.
On the road. For the Leafs tonight and tomorrow.
I think it is going to be the wave of the future. I really do. I just think you cut down on travel. You cut down on a lot of things. You know, there was an article a couple of years ago where Jonathan Toews had done the research, and it showed how much less travel you would have when you stay for multiple games in one city and going through customs and all of these things that when you do these one-offs, people don't pay attention to. I think it is the kind of the wave of the future. It's not going to be the same opponents because they're going to go back to the old traditional, I guess, what do you call them? The divisions.
The divisions, sure. They're going back.
But this is going to be good. You know, you play tonight, you go back to the hotel if you're the Leafs, or you just go home if you're Ottawa, and you're right back at it again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all good. It's so early into the season too. I mean, you haven't played, so Ottawa hasn't played in 10 months. They're back at it tonight for the first time in 10 months.
And no exhibition games.
How That's rusty tough. Are they? Like, this is an opportunity for the Leafs. They got to get – you got to get 2 points, clearly. You have to. But this is one where you hopefully – they might come out with a bang and feeling it, and then the rush shows up. You got to take advantage. You're a better team. It's early in the year. It's a chance to make a bit of a statement, like, we're here and we're ready to play, and we're not going to play down to our competition or anything along those lines. And with Ottawa, no exhibition games, haven't played in 10 months. That should lead to a bigger advantage for the Maple Leafs, you know,
and
we'll see what it's not a guarantee, but it should.
Yeah.
And if you roll out of this weekend with 4 points, even if you pick up, you know, one or two in overtime, it doesn't matter. You know,
doesn't matter. You got to
float Ottawa 2 points. Who cares? Take care of your own points.
Put it this way: every night's a 4-point game because you're directly in competition for Ottawa to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And everyone in the league is watching it. You know, 3-point game last night, Winnipeg, Calgary. You know, had a 3-point game the other night against Montreal. Like, the whole league is watching the whole Northern Division's watching because it affects them directly. So,
yep.
doesn't matter.
The whole country will be watching
right
for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing if Nylander can double down with the way he played the other night. He played great. And obviously the big four, but it's more intrigue about the depth. Like, I think I know what I'm getting out of Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Riley. You know, it's can Kerfoot have a better night? Can that line have more impact on the game?
Right.
What do we see out of Dermott and Bogosian tonight that we didn't see a couple of nights ago? Freddie, does he stabilize and just say, nothing's getting past me this weekend? You know, those are more noticeable questions for me that I'm going to need answers
for sure.
on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll find out. So we got two Leaf games this weekend. We got four NFL games. The Raptors are in action. James Harden making his debut for Brooklyn tomorrow. Maybe the Jays make something happen this weekend. Who knows? We've been saying that for a long time. But you got to believe at some point they're going to snap out of it. And the O-Dog will be back on Monday. So it's going to be a fun one on Monday. It's going to be a great weekend. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy all the games. We are out of here. We are back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.